This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome to Postcard from Pot Bread, and it's not nice today. I'm sure it's nice 3,000 kilometres up, but it's not very nice down here. It's rainy. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. This is Postcard from Poprad. And if you're joining us for the first time, it's a sideways look at the news. And so I'm over here in the eastern bit of Slovakia. It's really nice out here, actually. Very relaxing. Very chill out. Very 1967 flower power. And over in the hubbub of Europe, it's Mr. Banks in England.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. I've got hay fever. Yep, it's so warm in this mean and septic isle called the UK that we've just lit the log burner for the summer.
So when did you buy the album Hay Fever, then?
Eh?
When did you buy the album Hay Fever?
We could make this joke last for ages. It's rapeseed. I'm surrounded by blinking rapeseed. It's bad seed. Rapeseed is bad seed. Just like Nick Cave said, did he, Rachel?
Right. He did.
Right, okay. So, yes, right. Rachel, by the way, is down there underneath us, up there in Queensland. And this is Rach.
Hello. Guess what?
It's
actually my version of cold here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like really unseasonably chilly. It's for where I am in central Queensland, about halfway up the coast.
Yeah.
Between New South Wales and the very, very top of the country. It's the top of the country called the top.
Yeah.
It's called the north. The top, yeah. The very, very top.
It's kind of the Northern Territories, Lee.
So you're not Northern on top, then, Rachel.
Well, no, I'm never on top, Lee. It's the story of my life. But this morning when I woke up, not only was there dew, but I had to put the fluffy gown on.
Good
I had
grief.
To put the fluffy gown
not
on
the
because
fluffy
it,
gown.
It was an Arctic 12 degrees.
Just remember that fluffy gown. The hairs on your chest are like Velcro, Rick.
Anyway, hi to the guys at just about everywhere we go, Talk Radio, Replay Radio, and a new addition to it, 21 Radio. Thanks to Rob.
Hey, yay. Hey, yay.
Thanks to Rob for organising that. And we join other people like Emperor Roscoe, Rob Jones, Bruno Hanston, and Dave Cash, and all sorts of who's who of British radio people, actually. And before I forget, you must be here next week. A legend of European radio will be joining us on the show. I'm not going to tell you who, what, where, how, when, or why, but you've got to be here next week. At this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to break from tradition of the programme. I am going to shut up for a little minute, because if I don't, and I don't turn my headphones off, I will probably jump off the Tatras Mountains with no parachute. This is going to be blatant, creeping, as well as creepy, and equally boring. I will now hand over the microphone to Mr. Banks, who will wax lyrical about some old geezer whose birthday is today.
I can go to sleep now.
Yeah, you can, mate. Have a sleep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I must say I am very grateful for this opportunity because it's one of those circumstances where I forgot to send His Royal Bobness his birthday card. And I send him one every year, ladies and gentlemen. And this year, because I've been under pressure and I've got hay fever, I forgot to send it. Bob, we know you're 72.
Potato and sausage soup.
72. Too, Bob. That's just a young man in the age of dogs. That's like being 6 years old, Bob. Don't worry about it. You are not old. You are handsome, you are gorgeous, and you sing divinely. Happy birthday, His Royal Bobness.
Oh, have you done now?
I can carry on.
No, it's all right. If you could do about another 5 seconds, I've got another mouthful of soup to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you write in and tell me if while I'm doing this, if he's actually switched me off? Bob! Bob. Bob of Dylan, we love you. Happy birthday, his royal.
Oh, oh dear.
It's like Mr. Porn.
It is rather, isn't it? Yeah. It's, look, it's Lee North. Anyway. I've got to apologise to the girls in the office today. Petra and Martina are not happy with me. They are sulking. In fact, the girls in the office are revolting.
You can't
That's
call them that. I told you.
That's a terrible thing to say about Petra.
I know.
They are. They're revolting.
Apologising me.
They are angry.
Now, but she's still lovely.
Excuse me. They are revolting. They are doing a revolt.
They're staging a coup.
Yes. That's what I meant.
Like
because I thank you to Alan Jarvie, who sent me over 6 hours of good old Media Zoo programming from 1997, which I've enjoyed listening to, Alan. Thank you. The girl...
And I've had to listen to it as well, ladies and gentlemen, because he stayed on the line.
But I did.
He stayed on the line, Rachel. He stayed on the line while I listened to it to make sure. And he kept asking me questions. He kept asking me questions to make sure I was still listening.
Now, that was, Alan, all I will tell you, and I agree with you, that's radio how it should have been, music style. And we hope
it's
this program...
It's excellent radio.
It is, actually. Maybe we'll find a way of talking to some of the guys later. We're going to be serious for a moment now. Our hearts and minds and prayers are all going out to Oklahoma in the US at the moment. Terrible tragedy over there with the enormous twister. And glad to see... What I love about this story is the way... The citizens of Moore, the town that was really hit where the school was broken, actually banding together as a community and going, okay, we're going to make it all right again. And I thought that was just amazing. Yeah, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
so it reminds me of the floods that we had earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And a town called Gympie was hit very hard and really awfully hard, and another town called Bundaberg. And everybody, the mindset was exactly the same. It was like, radio, let's clean it up, let's get on.
Mm.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Like, you know, we think in the UK we have that gung-ho attitude. You know, we go back to the Blitz and all that. And yeah,
darling, it's the stiff upper lip.
Well, yeah. It is, but I tell you what, we don't have as much of a stiff upper lip as our American cousins do when something like this happens.
Oh, I don't know.
No, and you can, I was reading earlier today, you can actually, if you would like to help, you can donate via the Red Cross, via the website.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Another tragedy this week was something, I just cannot believe it happened. They are not human beings. As a... serving officer in the British Armed Forces was murdered by two individuals. These individuals will not be mentioned on this programme because we're not going to give them any more publicity than they've already had. And I just cannot think why they're even trying to make them better, to be honest. But that's the way of the law in the UK. And so they have to do it. Lee and I were talking about the press coverage of this earlier. And basically, the newspapers were damned if they did and damned if they didn't, really, Lee.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it's, I was pretty disgusted with an MP, unfortunately. I would like to name him, but I've forgotten his name. That's how important he is. Who lambasted the press for publishing pictures of the actual people who are accused of the murder of this man. And... what's always surprised me over this is that newspapers and all news media are there to deliver the news, and the news was that these blokes who carried out this horrendous crime actually then courted cameras, camera phones and everything else to put across their story. Now, you can take the attitude that, well, you're giving them publicity, but the simple fact is, this is the news story. The fact that that bloke was standing there with a meat cleaver, dripping with blood, and talking quite coherently to a passerby about why they carried out this act is what the news is about. It doesn't detract from the absolute horror of it. And the one thing I did want to say is that, really, this act was the culmination of all British fears that terrorism has come back onto the streets in Britain in small packages, that we've got And this is what's happening all over the world. Remember the incidents in America a few weeks ago.
Yep.
These are two blokes working together as little cells of horror in countries. And you've not seen that really. That you've not really seen that since the IRA in the 70s and the 80s. Mm. And it is just horrible that this kind of thing is being allowed to happen on the
streets. The other good thing, Lee, is that on the latest reports, the police have arrested a further four people. Now
they
connected
have, yeah.
with them, and yeah. and maybe this is something that will stop them from continuing these small cells. And I do wonder who's driving this. I wonder if it's if it's a clever person manipulating not so clever people.
I'm not so sure.
That's generally,
whether it's,
I don't know. It depends. Depends what group is taking responsibility. It's a really grey, messy subject. But with the guys in Boston, there was clearly something going on. Mm. You know, in their country of origin, because the older brother had been going back there and for 6 months at a time, and no one could account for what he was doing. I mean, clearly being trained, as we now have discovered, but. With these guys in the UK, you don't know, and that's the scary part is you don't know who your enemy is. You don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
right.
That's right. But I do think it's self perpetuating now. I think
I think
you do get idiots who suddenly decide that death and glory is all that's left to them in life, and they will go and do it off their own bats without actually being supported by any.
Well,
you know,
I'm going to stop you there and say a couple of other things. One of which is. The man himself who was murdered is a hero in my book. Secondly, the Cub Scout leader, that lady, she should be given the highest order of anything that can be given from a majesty. Because to engage with those people and try and keep them or stop them doing something the way she did was bravery beyond belief. And, madam, I commend you till the day goes. It's just amazing what you did. And the other thing is the community spirit yet again. Where the guys in Greenwich, everybody knew this guy was wearing a Help for Heroes T-shirt. Because of that, Help for Heroes, their website crashed with people trying to help. And I think that's amazing. That is amazing.
Going back to the woman who like you quite rightly say, it was the hero of the moment or the heroine of the moment.
Mm.
Just like say the battered and bloodied press, who've yet again taken a bashing over this. Just everybody, pay attention to the Sunday papers this weekend.
Mm.
And just see the stories that will be in there about her.
Mm.
She, you know, I am not aware of any bad stories that will come out about her. I think it's only she will be
the heroine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What you say about the press is interesting because I don't have a journalistic background but I read newspapers.
Mm.
But even you know,
what?
Joe,
whoa, you read newspapers?
I do. I actually consume them with my eyes.
No.
but even I, Joe Citizen, regular person, not a journalist, knows that if it bleeds, it leads.
Yes.
And you can't vilify the press for reporting a story in an unbiased manner. You can't.
Yeah.
If it's news, it's news.
Exactly.
And, and CNN copped it over the whole Boston thing as well. Why are you talking about these bombers? Why are you talking about these bombers? Because that was the story.
Mm. Absolutely. I as you probably know, Rachel, I'm not sure, but I used to be a war correspondent. I worked out in Northern Ireland a lot. And the pressure that is put on the press to not portray the truth about war and about terrorism.
Mm.
You know, the stuff that is you are forced to hold back, particularly if you're embedded in reporting situations, is absolutely outrageous. And the people, if there is terrorism, if there is murder on the streets, then people have a right to know about it. And that is our job, to tell them not to have a moratorium put on you by a government or by the MOD or anything like that. You have the, it is your duty to tell people what really has happened. Then people can make their own minds up about what is actually going on in the world.
Well, as several people know from this programme, we don't lay down and let the other lot walk over us, do we?
Absolutely not.
And I mean the old school Thai Brigade, which tends to close ranks on us at several points. And we just go, no, don't buy into that at all. Anyway.
We go, whatever.
No, yes, exactly. Anyway, some good news.
Oh, good.
Thank God for that.
Oh, done.
There was a massive outcry a couple of weeks ago when the EU idiots decided they were going to ban refillable olive oil jugs.
Because, you know, they didn't have anything else to do.
Correct.
It was a bit of a slippery slope for them, wasn't it?
That
wasn't a joke! That wasn't a joke!
Sounded hilarious.
No, actually, it wasn't a joke. You're quite right.
Oh, dear.
So, anyway.
Well, if it makes you feel better, it wasn't funny.
Thank you, Rachel. I hate Aussies.
Really? Just note, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listening in Australia, as you do, Lee G. Banks is coming to Oz. Rotten eggs are better than normal eggs.
There.
Rotten eggs.
We're only English people anyway with funny accents.
You've invaded most of it. We probably won't notice.
Anyway, the EU has dropped plans to ban restaurants from using refillable jugs and bowls of olive oil. Yes, you pillocks, because we like dipping our toast in bowls of olive oil.
Absolutely. Here's a joke. Here is a joke, an olive oil joke, right?
All right.
Right, you ready? You ready?
Yeah.
You ready?
No, I'm getting ready for...
Where does extra, extra virgin olive oil come from? Really rich, ugly olives.
First tumbleweed of the program.
That was funny.
It's not funny. I'm just really tired.
Anyway, moving along. Good news on that one.
That is good news.
I blame Coronation Street for this. Stop it. I blame Coronation Street for this because UK soaps have been accused of promoting bad health.
I would agree.
Why?
Because they are. They're real life. We all go around burning down pubs, burying old pervert dads under the patio and nobbing our next door neighbours. That's what we all do, isn't it, Rachel?
Just on a Tuesday. Then.
Documentary soaps are a documentary, they're not.
Right. Well, let's just find out. Rachel, as a person who knows quite a bit more about soaps than Lee and Eric, because you've been in them, are they real?
They're real when you're standing there and when you're delivering your dialogue, that it feels quite real, although you can't believe you're doing it, but it is real. And then when you watch it, you realise it's not
it's rubbish.
Real at all. It's in fact fiction. And I quite often look on Facebook and just for the good laugh of it, get on threads of people talking about, you know, the bold and the beautiful and all this sort of stuff.
Yes.
And how passionate they get about these people as if they really exist. But I will say this, back to the original subject, I will
Rach,
say this.
Rach.
Yes? Yes?
Are you telling me Alf the alien is not real?
Who's Alf the alien?
Oh, no, he's real.
What's
he? He's from a sitcom.
Of course, he was in a sitcom, so that's real. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Phew.
Sitcoms are real.
I was worried about that because I thought Alf wasn't real for a minute.
No, he's real. I've got a facsimile of the real Alf, the doll, in my cupboard.
Who is Alf? Who are we talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, have you any idea what we're talking about?
Rach, I've got a cup with Alf on.
True.
Really?
Oh, my God.
And I've got every program on my hard drive.
It's brilliant. It's so
cool, yeah.
A tumbleweed moment. This is a moment of boring.
Rach, do you remember the one where he was using the radio amateur equipment and the spaceship crashed into the garage?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
was great.
Well,
and
that was real life.
He was using that two-way radio trying to reach home and ended up talking to all the truckers and became really famous.
Oh, and the other one was right. What was the other one where he got arrested, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
He did because
he get arrested for?
He hacked into the president's phone system, didn't he?
He also pretended he was a salesman of some description when he got amnesia.
Oh, right. We just haven't got... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We just haven't got time to mention some new music that Bob Dylan's coming in now, so we'll carry on. Is Coffee the new Danger, Lee?
No.
I'm not finished about songs.
Oh, I'm not, Lee. Sorry.
I'm still on about soaps.
Are you? Which one do you use?
Don't worry about it. I'll move on. I have my hand in
the air. Beautiful have got a health club on the roof of one of their businesses, which everybody's always seen at. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
What's she on about now, Eric?
Have you not caught... You haven't seen Alf, have you?
Who's Alf? I've been asking for the last 10 minutes.
Alf is Alf. He's
an alien life form.
Rachel, as a fellow thespian, I actually played somebody called Alf in a play by some northern writer whose name.
No, you couldn't do Alf. You couldn't.
And he was called Hall. And in the play was whenever he asked me name, I'd say Alf Hall. And the people who were there say, "No, you won't, lad. What's your name?"
No. Sorry. You couldn't play Alf for one reason. Because you're far too tall. You'd have to be cut in half. Then you'd be about the right size for Alf.
You'd have to fill me from the waist up, you big...
But it is true to say your noses are the right character for Alf.
Oh, don't you start on about noses.
And you got the wrong colour fur, too.
Yeah, you have, actually.
You've never seen my fur.
You've still got the wrong colour fur.
That's disgusting.
Forget the coffee. I love this story. An imposter impersonating Cy from Gang and Time.
Are we not doing the coffee story?
No, I'm bored with that. It's boring. Look, next week...
That's a really good joke for that.
There'll be another story coming out from the FDA in America going, coffee's great for you.
Oh, we're going back to the coffee story now.
No. Anyway, Cy, but not Cy, from Gangnam Style, has managed to blag his way into all the VIP parties at the Cannes Film Festival.
You know, it was called the Bridge of Sighs.
Oh, dear. So,
first of all, I don't know how this fool got famous in the first place to have someone to be impersonating him.
What, Cy?
Yes.
Cy's brilliant.
Gangnam Style, he needs to be dragged into the street and publicly flogged. That's terrible. Oh, he and Justin Bieber both need to be dragged into the street and flogged for the crimes against music and against the public in general.
I thought you were young.
Well, that's a bit unfair. Cy actually, and this is documentary fact, Cy invented Gangnam Style to actually mock the pretensions of Seoul's wealthy citizens. And I must admit, like you, I just thought he was messing about. But he had quite a sort of proper thing behind it.
Yeah, but see, 99% of the people who adore this ridiculous dance that he does, this silly man, this jumping about, 99% of the people that adore it don't know.
But it's fun.
He was doing it for.
It's
not
fun.
It's stupid.
It's fun. There is fun.
I feel stupider for looking at it. I feel, and every time I now, as we speak about it, I feel my IQ dropping. It's dangerous.
I've only got one. I've only got one thing to sing. Do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that was class. That was class. That's a difference.
I knew that was going to come.
The chirpy, chirpy, cheap, cheap song.
Anyway, I want to know who's in charge of the Cannes Film Festival security. Because they've lost millions of dollars worth or pounds worth or euros worth of jewellery. Then you've got blokes wandering into parties without tickets. I mean, you know, have I missed something here?
Excuse me, Eric.
Really?
What?
May I ask a simple question? Of you both, there is no sex discrimination in this question.
Really?
Okay. It's a challenge. Have you never, ever raided a celebrity party?
Never.
Haven't you?
No. Nope.
Look, that because you've been invited?
I'm not important enough to even get near the door.
can I claim the Fifth Amendment?
No, tell the truth.
No, you mean, have I blagged my way into parties?
To do with famous people, not like your grandmother's because she's not invited you.
No, you're asking, have I ever blagged my way into parties?
Famous people, not family parties, because you've not been invited.
No, famous people parties.
Yeah?
Yes.
I was just making it clear. Go on, who's?
No, I'm not... Pfft.
Why?
Because...
What are you going to do? Because you're not going to get...
Unfortunately, the one that springs to mind, I now know the person.
Bruce Springsteen?
No.
Go on.
I now know the person who I once blagged into a party when I shouldn't have been there.
Was it of the female persuasion or of the male persuasion?
Male persuasion.
So it's a man?
Yes.
What sort of age?
Was it male persuasion?
And in actual
so
fact, you, Lee, you don't say anything. And what I did is I was one of the people associated to a radio station I was working for was a guy called Trevor, who will remain nameless other than Trevor, who worked at the Sun at the time that you were around there. And he was the deputy picture editor.
I know who you mean.
Yes. And I was talking to Trevor because he was in the studio doing a feature on us. And as he walked out, I continued walking with him and walked to his next job.
Yeah.
And because I was walking with him, and he suddenly said, have you got a ticket? I said, no. By which time we were already in because they'd looked at him and thought I was with him. And he went, oh, hell, they'll go nuts. I said, oh, I'll keep quiet. And I did.
So whose party was it?
I'm not telling you.
Stand up and be counted. This is the, was he a singer? Was he an actor? Was he an actress? Was he a famous footballer?
High street name.
He was a shop. You went to a party at a shop.
Actually, I can tell you a story about one that I blagged, kind of blagged.
All right, but I'm telling my story after.
Go on, you go first.
No, you go first. Oh, you're older.
Pardon me?
Why don't I go first?
You go first, Rach.
Because you haven't got anything to say.
I once held a party. I once threw a party.
Yeah.
And then went out the back door and in the front door and pretended to crash my own party.
No.
Well, that's a record.
Because I'd never crashed a party before.
And did everybody leave when they saw you coming in?
Yes, of course.
Rach, did you bump your nose?
Oh, no.
When you crashed the party.
He's got almost noses, you know.
No, I've got a petite nose. My feet hit the door first.
You got a petite nose. Well, actually, this is mine because Lee's next. some clients of mine used to work with Samantha Fox's partner at the time. And he was an Australian.
Oh, that the baggage. The baggage.
It was that.
The scoundrel.
That
the
scoundrel
founder.
Bloke, yeah.
That scoundrel man who was very friendly with Tony Blair's missus.
Well, even so, I managed to blag a trip to Sammy's Bar in North London, and then I managed to dance with Samantha Fox, and it was wonderful. And she signed a CD for me.
Did you get close to her?
With love to Eric from Sam, with a kiss on the bottom of it. At that point, we haven't got time for Lee's story because it's the end of part one. Bye-bye.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.